All right, y'all, welcome to another episode of the Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast, the podcast equivalent of all the aunties getting together to discuss who really made the potato salad, because it turns out it was actually good, so they want to get that recipe. I'm your host, the infamous Hood Rav with the gold himself, Cortez Washington, and I am joined by a special guest. This guest is one of the front runners of the Black Minecraft movement, and one of the people who is actually very much in tune with breaking down barriers and living unapologetically like herself. So please show some love to Janie Laney.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, happy to have you on the show. Finally getting this down and getting it in the books. So let's get right to it. The first question I always ask a guest is, what is your first gaming memory? So, like, what is the first thing you remember when you were playing a game and you was like, oh, this is going to be my hobby. This is going to be it.
Oh, wait. When I realized it was going to be my hobby or I realized I can make money off of it.
Hobby first. We'll get to the money thing later.
Hobby first. I was like maybe two or three, and it was Ronald McDonald's game that everybody thinks is a lie. Whenever I tell people that Ronald McDonald had a video game, it was like Ronald's Magic Treasure Adventure, something like that. And he was like ziplining across the thing and beating up Hamburglar and stuff. That is a real game. And that was when I knew. And it was on the Sega. Everybody thinks I'm lying when I talk about it, but it really does exist.
I'm pretty sure it is a game. So, like, and I'm going to look it up for you just to verify, because I like making sure.
Listen, it is not a Mandela effect. I have been accused of Mandela affecting people with this.
The McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure. Is that it?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it's real. So, yeah, you're not.
Yeah. So like when you would jump, Ronald would like make a noise and stuff like that. And I just like, I thought it was so cool. And it was something that I could like play by myself. And it was just really fun. And like my brother would also watch me play too. And he'd be like, oh, jump here, jump there. So like, it was just like, that was the moment that I had so much fun with this thing. And I didn't know what to do. And my brother's trying to show me, this is what you do to jump and stuff. So like, that was my first big time memory of playing a video game on the Sega Genesis.
Nice. And it's with a deep cut too. So it's like that deep cut tied to like that special memory. So like, you know, like I'm not losing my shit. I know what happened, you know?
Exactly.
Dope.
Everybody thinks I'm a liar. They'll be like, that game doesn't exist. I'm like, no, I was there. So yeah, it was wild.
Oh man. So, I really want to get into I want to talk to you about a bunch of stuff. So like, first, like Black Minecraft, we're going to get into that. The Cyber XR stuff, I want to definitely touch on that with you. But first, I just want to get what is your origin story? Like, how did you get on the pathway that you are right now to be doing the things that you're doing? And this is where we can talk about gaming, how making money off of content creation and gaming.
All right, so I've always loved video games. I started on the Genesis, ended up being a big PlayStation nerd, you couldn't tell me nothing. I didn't even know what an Xbox was until 2018. I didn't know what the heck an Xbox was, because who the heck is checking for Microsoft? I wasn't, and apparently I really wasn't when it was very pivotal, because I remember only seeing the Xbox one time before 2018, and that was when Halo first came out, and I was like, yo, why are they just jumping this game? I remember the first time I ever saw Halo in the third grade when it came out, and all the boys were like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It was nothing but a bunch of jumping. So I've always loved video games as well. I always loved video games, but 2018 came around and my grandmother had died, and before she had died, when I was just like going to the hospital, I went because I live in Florida now, but I went back home to California to go and help take care of her house and stuff while she was in the hospital before we found out that she was gonna die. So me, like a silly goose, I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I was like, you know, I was in my feelings because my grandma was sick and I just didn't know what to do. So like one day somebody told me about Mixer and I was like, what the heck is a Mixer? Like I was so confused and I went onto it and I was like, people watch people do stuff. I didn't know that it was a thing. Like I didn't know that people watch people do things. Because mind you, like on YouTube, when YouTube first came out, you just would watch a video. Like there wasn't a term content creator. Like this wasn't a thing. So like when I first saw it in 2018, I was like, wait, people watch people? This is so creepy. But I liked it. And so like when I first got on there, I was like, okay, it's a bunch of white people. Let me find some black people. Did not know how to find black people. So what I did was I was like, let me just look at the biggest game that people are playing. It was Fortnite. So mm-hmm. I was like, well, how about I click on this and I go scroll around. I found a black content creator, Gradient Concept. That's the first content creator I ever sat down in a stream I ever found and everything on Mixer. And I just wanted to talk. I didn't even think about doing content. I didn't even know that I could even do something like that. After about a few months, maybe like 2 or 3 months on the platform, I started like really getting involved in people's content. I was a moderator for several chats. I got to know a lot of people in the Fortnite communities and in the 2K communities. People don't realize I actually was a big 2K moderator on Mixer. Like I was in a lot of the 2K, NBA 2K community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice. Really weird. Yeah. Yeah. So one day nobody was on and I used to moderate for 20 channels. Yeah. One day nobody was on. Like, and I was like, well, I want to learn how to make people feel better with their moderators. So I'm going to learn how to stream so I know what it's like to be a streamer. Mm-hmm. I was doing everything from my Xbox, just with my Xbox, didn't have a camera, didn't even have like a regular mic. I was using a headset mic that was janky and had tape on it, like duct tape on the thing. And I had to kind of like twirl it to the side and stuff like that so I could make sure I could hear everything. And I played Tekken. I remember I played Tekken because I was a big Tekken head. Played Tekken on the Xbox. First time ever. Controller I thought was too big and everything. And people enjoyed it. They would not let me turn off the stream. They're like, oh my God, you're funny. And it was a lot of me just talking to myself because I was like, yo, where's the chat? Like, I didn't know anything. I was like, oh my God, I cut this thing on. There is no chat. And I was like, wait, there's a little box. And then it was just like a bunch of LOL. She's so funny. I'm like, haha, thanks. Like, I don't know what to do. But like, people really did enjoy it. So I was like, well, this is a thing. So I started doing that a little bit, still moderating for channels, but like I really started looking at how like kids were on the platform but didn't really have a good safe place to go. And I'm like, well, I love kids. I don't mind talking to kids all day. So I was like, well, why not just go ahead and create my channel so that, you know, kids could have fun. This is before I even found out what Minecraft was. Didn't even know what Minecraft was either. I did not know that game even existed. But I was just doing like, you know, my regular stuff, playing some Tekken, doing a little bit of Save the World and everything. And then one day Minecraft was introduced to me and that's what made a huge difference. It just made a huge difference. That's when I really, really, really got deep into it. Because I'm like, man, I could sit here for hours and play this game. And I could play with other kids. And, you know, I could play with adults. I could do all of this stuff and just really have fun. And, from there, I started doing IRL content, too. I was a dog walker. So I was, like, showing people all the dogs I was walking. I used to sit with the phone in my eyeball and do, like, Blair Witch Project renditions of the movie. And, yeah, I would be outside at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning running down the street, like acting like I was on the Blair Witch Project. And I did a lot of stuff just because I wanted to do it. Like, it was fun. And I found out, like, I literally could do whatever the heck I want to do and it's perfectly fine. So, and then, you know, got partnered on the platform, all that jazz, got to know a lot of people in the industry, and I just kept going, really. So that was really how it really kicked off. And I found out I could make money. So that was a plus, actually.
Yeah, that's dope. It was a very like, and this all started, and you said this all started in 2018, so it's just been like 4 years of your process of going from first taste of what this is to being like, oh, fuck with this. Yeah, this is it. And then just diving deep into it, like on moderation, moderating 20 channels too, which is like a huge task too, of balancing those very varied communities, you know, even if they're doing the same thing, the communities are still different, you know.
Exactly.
And it just like, that's pretty cool. So you got the understanding the inner workings of it before you started streaming. Of course, you had your first I feel like everybody's first stream doesn't go as planned, and they always like, there's always one thing that they like forget. And I feel like that's something right there. It's like, where's the chat? And you like not seeing the chat and just going through it. And they like, oh, I'm loving this. This is pure. This is beautiful. But
unfortunately, my first stream was 9 hours. Unfortunately, because they wouldn't let me turn it off. They wouldn't let me turn it off. They're like, no, just keep going. I'm like, well, I have nothing else better to do today. Okay, like
nine hours. Wow.
Yeah. Not nine hours of my shenanigans and just talking and stuff and chilling.
That's cool. Damn, that's a long time. Oh. So like Minecraft, like your like that's been your biggest push of like Minecraft, specifically Black Minecraft, as like could you explain like Black Minecraft to the users? I mean, to not the users, the listeners who haven't heard of Black Minecraft before, like if you can go explain that a little bit, because I really fuck with it, because I'm always about fostering like a good community place, but I just want you to break it down for folks about it, because it could be one thing and people could think it's one thing, but it's really another thing. So
so it's not a racist ploy for the Black community to take over, okay? That's the first thing, right?
Black supremacy.
I'm not trying to take over nothing. Yeah, this isn't what this is, okay? I'm not handing out BBB t-shirts and all of that stuff. I'm not handing out reversal hoods. Not doing that, okay? So basically what happened is that when I first started playing Minecraft, the first day I played Minecraft, I was stuck on the I was stuck trying to pick a skin. Because, like, when people are like, oh, it's a game where you can do whatever you want, and they're like, oh, you have different skins, I had looked it up on the internet, and I was like, oh, you can have different skins. I sat in that skin, in the marketplace section for over an hour looking for a skin for a person of color. And all the free skins were for white people. Like, actually depicted white people. It wasn't just a, you know, they just weren't Black. No, actually depicted white people. And I had to actually pay $5 to get a skin pack just to be Black.
Wow.
That bothered me. It's
egregious.
Like, when I tell you I wanted to cry on stream, because I'm doing this on stream. So, and mind you, this was before I ever got partnered on any platforms. This is still in really the early days. So it was embarrassing. Like, I'm going to be honest, I was so embarrassed by this that I got mad. But what ended up happening was, after that stream, me and my friend Munchkin Doom, we decided to go ahead and do some research, because I said, well, maybe they don't have Black skins or skins for Black people, or really any people of color, because they don't know that the people play the game. So the quickest way that you can go and find out is content creators. Like, at that time, I was like, well, the only way that they would know is content creation. So we went onto YouTube. I typed in Black Minecrafters, found a very racist video, and that was about it. I looked on Twitter, couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything on Reddit. I couldn't find anything anywhere. And I was like, they just don't exist. I was like, there's no way, but they just don't exist, because I started seeing how many people, like, you know, just based upon the analytics of the downloads of Minecraft, how many people have this game. I'm like, somehow there's no Black people. Wow, that's amazing. So I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and create Black Minecraft, because A, I want to find other people who play Minecraft that look like me. I want to find non-white people that play this game. Didn't matter if they were Black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. I just wanted to find somebody of color because I was like, there's no way that everybody's a Black guy or a white male. There's no way. Like, there's no way. So there was that. But then I also was like, you know what? I also want to push for more diversity to be within the base game. Because I'm on an Xbox, meaning on console, you don't have the opportunity to put in your custom creations. So a lot, and I was thinking to myself, well, you know, if a lot of Black people can't usually just afford a giant gaming PC from out of nowhere and stuff like that, maybe they're all on the Xbox like me. Maybe they're on a PlayStation. So maybe they can't really afford to go out and just get X, Y, and Z. So I want to be able to have an effect on the base game. I want to be able to affect the base game of community players. So that's also what I want to do. And then another thing that I wanted to do too was I wanted to have some respect within the community, because when I saw the racist video about Black Minecrafters and stuff like that, it was a really racist video on YouTube. There were people that agreed with the video, and it was really strange. So that's when Black Minecraft got officially started. It was in 2018. About a month or two later, Minecraft Earth, which is which was one of, it's pretty much like a giant showcase for Minecraft. They have their own showcases every year. There is a guy on there named Big B Stats, a Black man, was on the stage talking. I was like, they do exist. Mind you, I was trying to look for people. I was like, they do really exist. I need to figure out how I could connect with this guy. But I didn't want to be a creep. Okay. I just told myself not to be creepy. But I was enthralled. I was like, they exist. But how is it this person exists, but I don't see any Black content creators? So that's why I was like, you know what? Black Minecraft, it has to be a thing. I have to take this to Twitter. And I thought about taking it to Twitter because I was like, where would be a big influential area where I can talk? And where would be also an influential area where other people could give me feedback? I'm not a Reddit user, so I know people are going to be like, oh, Jenny could just done Reddit. No, Reddit is toxic and weird. Okay,
yeah,
I love threads. I love threads. I'm 29 years old, so I love threads, okay? We all love threads, but Reddit threads go down rabbit holes that nobody wants to be in. So I was like, okay, let me take to Twitter. So I started talking on Twitter. I wasn't even tweeting to anybody. I was just tweeting, just tweet. And then my friend Munchka would retweet. Like, that was literally how we started. It's like, I would just tweet. I'd be like, okay, I tweeted, retweet it. Boom. So that's actually where that's how it got started, and that's what it is. And like I've explained to people, it's just all about just trying to show people that there is diversity, but here's where it's lacking with the representation of that diversity. And I also wanted people of color to understand there's a safe place. Like, you know, like if you are playing the game and you're sick of people's like putting the N-word in the game chat, you're sick of people putting N-words on the sides, you're sick of getting grief just because you're Black and stuff, that's not a problem, right? Because there's a safe place. I can easily talk people through steps of how they can better secure their areas. I could talk to people about a whole lot of things. I could just say, come and play. We have servers, okay? We have servers, we have realms. No big issue. But also, I use my voice in order to talk to Minecraft directly. Because yes, I was featured on Minecraft's YouTube channel. And they did a whole entire piece on me about Black Minecraft and everything. But my goal was not, okay, let me just get seen. No, my goal was, I'm going to tell you guys where you guys are lacking, and you guys are going to do something about it. So that's exactly what I have been doing. I don't, and you know, and I do have a lot of devs who support me, and I have some devs who don't care. I don't be caring half the time. When I'm on Twitter, I do my thing. And if a dev is like, oh, that's not nice to say, don't care. Because at the end of the day, me as a Black woman especially, I should be able to play the game without having to worry about anything, without having to worry about people harassing me just because I'm Black. So that is what Black Minecraft is all about. And I know a lot of people, Black people included, who have been against Black Minecraft. They have told me I'm doing too much. They have told me it sounds racist. They have told me all types of stuff. But what I've let people know is that when you are in a space that should be free to be occupied by anybody, but you are singled out just because of your skin color, that's not right.
No.
I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you just say, oh, it's just the video game. That's not normal to me. What's normal to me is when I play a video game, I can just have fun. That's it. You know, I shouldn't have to pick a skin that depicts a non-Black person because I don't want to be harassed. I shouldn't have to worry about not being able to have my picture as my gamer pick because I'm going to be harassed and be called the N-word. I shouldn't have to do that. That makes no sense because white people live their best lives doing whatever the heck they want with no issues.
Yeah.
So why can't So, so it's been like a journey and everything like that. But every single time, like, you know, I talk to people about Black Minecraft and stuff, people usually, they do ask, well, why Black Minecraft? And they say it's for a few reasons. One reason is actually to kind of troll people, because whenever you put black in front of anything, it piques people's interest. They're either going to hate it or love it. And they're going to hate it so bad that they have to look into it. They're going to love it so much that they have to share it. So that's why I did that. It's a little bit of a clickbait type of ordeal, but on a positive note. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting black in front of something that you would not expect to have black in front of it. I also call it Black Minecraft because, well, I am a black person. And and as a black person, we all know you have to put black in front of anything because in order to gain any traction anywhere, people apparently want to know if you're black or not. Apparently, that's what they always go for. So that's the reason why we came up with Black Minecraft. And yeah, it's been going out pretty well. I've been able to successfully get more people of color to be inside of Minecraft publications, whether it be just through video or through print publications. I have talked to talked to Minecraft directly about the lack of diversity and inclusion and representation. And I told them it's not even just about me, but it's about the fact that if in a year or two I'm still the only person who's being featured, you're still lacking.
Yeah.
So I gladly, ever so gladly, tell them about themselves. Always with respect to the game, because it's not like I dislike the devs or anything like that. It's not like I dislike Minecraft, but I always will let them know, hey, this is what you can do, because I love the game so much, because I love the communities so much, I want to help you guys improve it. So that's all Black Minecraft is.
Nice, beautiful, inspirational. Trailblazing, you know, like you are going above and beyond to solidify that the presence of people of BIPOC folks, you know, and understanding that, like, when you get in those rooms, you got to tell them everything, and then you can't leave nothing out, because who knows if they're gonna let you back in that fucking room, you know? But as long as you said it to them, and as long as other people was watching too, to have you say that, because they probably was thinking it, but didn't have the, you know, have the courage to say it because it would have jeopardized their positionality or whatever they were in. That is amazing to hear. It kind of reminds me of like how the reason I started the podcast was because it was so hard to find black content creators. For me, but granted, all I had to do was really do like a deep dive of like 2 hours of Twitter, and then now I'm flooded with black content creators. Too many black content. I haven't reached out to the same person to be on the podcast unless it's like a follow up. But like, there's so many black content creators out there, and I love it. But it's like connecting that interconnectedness of all of us doing something and like giving tips and tricks, because you know, like, it might be people that listen to my podcast that don't know, that play Minecraft. And they're like, oh, thanks. Finally, shit, I've been looking. They might not have known, you know, because all they had to do was really that. Like, oh, that's what it's called? Like, I was looking for, like, this, da, 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 and I got a couple, but, like, this is getting me really exposed, you know. But, yeah, I love hearing that. And it sounds like it was, like, effortless for you. I mean, no, granted, it is hard, but it's like, you're like, fuck, ain't nobody else doing it. I'm going to do it, you know. It was less of, like, And I know you had Munchkin in your back next to you doing it. So shout out to Munch too. She always trailblazing. Every time I just hear about Munch, Munchkin doing just out here doing work. But like, yeah, it just seems like y'all just took it. Y'all just hit the ground running with it and just, you know,
kept your foot on their necks. It also helps. I have no tact. I have no tact. People know I have no tact. I really don't like. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of people that are like, "Oh, this is going to ruin your position as a content creator. None of the devs are going to want to talk to you." Blah 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 blah. And I've told people, "Who cares?"
Yeah.
Because by me not saying anything, that makes it even worse. That makes it even worse in the event that that nothing, you know, that nothing came of anything. And I was sitting mm-hmm. up there knowing what I know. Like, when you know things and you choose not to share things, that is now on you if things don't get done. So my Absolutely. So my thought process was, you know what? Even though everyone should know that there was a bad lack of representation, has anybody ever actually spoke directly to Minecraft about it? No. All they've done, and this is still happening now, all they do is cry about it on Twitter and that's it. And I'm not saying that their stance isn't valid or anything like that, but I'm the type of person where, okay, cool, I know where the issue lies, and I want to speak mm-hmm. to the people directly. I don't want to sit up there and talk to other players about this and that's it. No, I want to talk to the people who make the game and ask them what the heck their problem is. That's exactly what I've done. And other people can vouch for me. That's exactly what I have done. I have asked people, so what's going on? You know? And what I really do like too is that there have been some bigger content creators who have decided to amplify what I have said. And big content creators, so for the Minecraft communities, big content creators such as Pixel Rifts and Joe Hills, all right? So those are two very well-known white men, actually, who play Minecraft. And by very well-known, I mean cut the stream on and easily be catching thousands of people type of thing.
Yeah.
Known by face, known by voice, known by community and everything. They hang out with a community of big content creators. So at the end of the day, like for me, I was just thinking to myself, if I don't speak up, nobody else actually will. And that's that's pretty much how I do things, I guess.
Yeah, nice. So does that same like energy and like I guess just like I don't want to say like courageous, but not necessarily courageous, because like it's just I feel like it's a trait of being a black person. It's like you have to like you gotta do it, like because if you don't say nothing, then like shit, like you said, nothing's gonna happen. And so it's like putting yourself out there up front and like being the person to be like, so we ain't gonna say it? All right, I'm gonna say it. You know, being like, where the black folks at? We ain't no black folks in here. Where they at? You like, oh, somebody's gonna be like, thank you. I was thinking the same thing, you know? But like, taking that, like, so does that like same energy like transfer over when you're doing stuff with like Cyber XR as well? Like,
oh God, yeah, because, oh Jesus. Just went to a gaming, it was a gaming and tech conference. It's called GamesBeat. All right, it's all about the tech, and it's all about the gaming. Uh-huh. So basically, a lot of it is about the tech that produces the games, and you know, outside tech like crypto and Web3 and all that jazz. So we had the first thing that we had to do was a women's brunch for diversity and inclusion.
That size says a lot.
the girl unfollowed me, don't care. But I sat in there. And, it was very fancy. I went to Beverly mm-hmm. Hills and I was at the Beverly Hilton and everything was grand. And there was a nice, you know, spread of food of breakfast. And it was great. Okay. Sat down. I'm looking at the panelists. I was like, okay. Waiting for the black person to come from behind a curtain or something. Maybe she had to use the bathroom or something like that. It's supposed to be a women's brunch. And we're supposed to be talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Uh-huh. Most of the women on that thing were white passing, if not white. One lady was quite possibly Hispanic. And I say quite possibly Hispanic because I don't know. Because she didn't really even identify herself. But it was the most lackluster diversity talk ever. They were basically deciding to talk about how white people could be allies, which is like, hello, what the heck does that even mean? Like, no, that's stupid. You don't sit up there and have a diversity brunch and tell white women about how they could be allies when most of the people in your audience are diverse. How does that work? That's not what we do. That sounds stupid. And then one lady, she decided to say, I totally understand what it's like to be in a situation where you feel different, because now that we have to work from home, I feel some type of way when I have to do a Zoom call with a man and I'm shorter than he is, so I have to put the camera lower. I when I heard that, I'm like, I don't know what that means.
What? Yeah, that doesn't make
sense. So I was there on my phone tweeting. Oh, I'm a big live tweeter too. Okay. I was tweeting about what she said. Yes, I did. It wasn't under any kind of NDA, and people needed to know how dumb people are. And yeah. I was looking around my table and this lady was like, what? I said, thank you. White lady, by the way, said that she didn't even understand that. I said, help me, Jesus. And we were talking while they were doing the panel. Because we were like, this is the most cringiest thing ever. Like, they were just, it was like so bad. And I went there on behalf of CyberXR. So with CyberXR, for those of you guys who do not know, they are actually big advocates to recreate policies and to help businesses, tech companies, recalibrate their standards to include diversity, equity, and inclusion. Also sometimes having to talk to government people and everything like that. So it's not just small companies, it's government officials, different things like that. And it's all under the umbrella of XRSI, which is a safety initiative made by Kavya Perlman. So we aim to make sure that these tech companies are doing right by, you know, people of color, people with disabilities, all of that jazz. We just aim to make sure that the communities that often go underrepresented get their representation, but also gain their respect. So that's why I was at GamesBeat. So I'm just sitting up there just listening to this thing like, there's no way that this is happening. Well, it got so much to the point where a picture that I took, I sent it to Kavya. Kavya posted about it. And I retweeted it. She also decided to then go ahead and tag the organizer of the event. And that's when the ceiling hit the fan, because he started talking about, oh, don't judge the conference, yada, yada. I said, no, you had several people of color that you actually could have invited to this. Why is it on the panel when they talked about Black Girl Gamers, they didn't have anybody from Black Girl Gamers on that panel? I said, hi, my name is Janie Lanning. This is who I am, because you could have had me on there if you want to sit up there and say somebody bailed out last minute, because I was really available and I am certified. I'm an Xbox MVP. You want to try me and talk about gaming and all of this stuff and talk about including people and everything, and you don't have not one black person on the darn panel, and most of them are white passing, what is this? And I talked to the guy very candidly on Twitter. I ended up talking to him in his face too at the garden party afterwards. And he followed, he really did follow me afterwards too, because he understood. Like, we had communication. Nice. We actually talked. Yeah. But I wanted to actually gain some insight as to what really happened for the panel. So I did pull him aside. I said, hi, my name is Janie Laney. And his look was, I said, yeah, me from Twitter. Hey, you know, how are you? You know, and I definitely ruined his whole entire night. So I thought, but it was a really good conversation I had. Mm-hmm. But either way, like I've told people, when something is not right, look to me to speak up. Even when people say, oh, you shouldn't speak up. Because to be honest with you, listen, I create content for a living. Since I create content for a living, that means I am not by any means employed by most of the people who I even talk to. I'm a contractor on a platform. Yeah. That's it. Okay? So that means that if I decide to sit up here and talk about the issues and stuff, I can't just get fired. Pull me off a platform. That's great, because there's other ones. Or better yet, pull me off the platform. You tell me why, and I'll screenshot that and put it on Twitter. And go ahead and make it plain. So, like, that's the thing, is that I do use my voice in all areas that I'm in. Because I know that my voice is extremely valid, but I also know that a lot of people are scared because they're scared of losing their position. I'm never scared about losing my position. Even back in elementary school, when stuff would just be really janky in the classroom and the teacher would say something foul, I would ask questions. And teachers didn't like that either. Yeah. They would always tell my parents that, you know, she's too opinionated. Who cares? Don't care. Because if all I'm doing is checking you on something that you said or did, how is that bad? I'm just putting up a mirror to your face. That's it. Yeah. Letting you see what's going on. If you feel offended, go ahead and fix yourself. So basically, that's always been me. It's just always been me. And, you know, there are times where I have been wrong. There have been times where I've had to apologize to people. And I don't mind doing that. But at the end of the day, if me as a black person am noticing that there's some kind of schism with how black people are being treated, not just black people. Like, I stand for all people of color. I do. I stand for people with disabilities and everything like that. If I notice that there's something off, I need to talk. So, you know, it's always been like that.
Yeah. And it's and it definitely ties into, like, as black people, we let a lot of shit slide sometimes.
Yep.
Like, certain situations, we let shit slide. We like, all right, let me scan out the scenario. Where am I? If, like, so for example, if they say something at a Cracker Barrel, I know where I'm at. I need to watch myself. I know what's about to go down. I need to chill. Okay, I know where I'm at. But if it's like, but still though, like, you still, in those instances, it might be a day where you like, yeah, I got time today. You know, I got a little time. Let's see how this go. You know, because you got to. But like, I feel like, yeah, so for people to always be like taken aback or shocked or angry that you like spoke up and actually said something that was super legitimate about this time, this energy, this platform, the money put into that event, all that stuff, and the lack of thinking about the inclusion of different, like, a wide variety of people of color, black folks, indigenous folks, you know, like just like goes to show, like, some people just, it's never been at your forefront. That thought process has never been at your forefront. It's always been in the back.
Right.
And then they probably went on the back burner, like, oh shit, do we know anybody? Like, and this is just hypothetically, like, do we know anybody black? It was like, we know a couple people. It's like, all right, let's get them. And then for them to, and that's the, and the thing you said about them mentioning black girl gamers and not having one person on there talk is like ridiculous. Like, obviously they got the money to fly somebody out to come talk on the panel.
Right.
Like, they into Beverly Hills, you know. Beverly Hills Hilton, like, that's cheese. You spend a lot of cheese on that. So, like,
right.
Yeah.
And it just shows up. And the thing about it, the thing about it is that I didn't have to pay to go there. So
yeah.
if I didn't have to pay it, and mind you, yes, technically speaking, tech conferences are a lot of money, but when they are on a panel, they are to be treated like VIP and they are to be flown out and all of that stuff. So it's like one of those things where I just really thought to myself, you have people on a panel for diversity and inclusion mentioning Black people, but also on the flip side, I thought to myself, why the heck did none of these people on this panel feel uncomfortable and say we should have these people on this panel? And I've been the type of person, and people know for a fact, even when I was partnered on Mixer, when we would do the partner raids at the end of our town halls, I said several times, let's raid someone who does not speak English. And people are like, well, why would we want to do that? Because listen, I don't feel right as a Black person to gatekeep somebody else because they're different than your average standard white person, and I just so happen to be Black and know English. What if I was Black and spoke an African language? You know, like there's like for me, there should be no level of gatekeeping just because somebody is diverse. I stand for what is right, and what is right is not being so much of a butt face when you finally have arrived, because that's often what white people will do. What white people will do is they'll let one Black person in. They might let two Black people in that they feel are safe options. All right. And then what they'll do is they'll make it seem like that Black person will lose their position if they speak up. That's the reason why there's so many Black men in high positions that don't talk, because they have a fear of losing everything and not being able to provide for their family. It's a really sadistic thing, but this often happens. That's how you pit Black people against Black people, because you see one Black person being amplified, but they're not helping other Black people because they feel like they're not in a position to do so, because they might lose their position. So it makes Black people hate other Black people. You know, and that's why I've told people several times, you're not going to get that energy from me. What you are going to get from me is I have easily sacrificed many things so that other people could at least have a voice. And that's what, like, I am a true ally for many type of people, because I don't care about losing some financial thing. I've fumbled bags before because I've talked about certain things. Don't care. Money can always be recreated. Like I said, I was a dog walker before I started doing content creation. So you want to sit up there and rip me off of several platforms and stuff like that? Guess what? I'll come back through with some dog treats and go ahead and make money. Like, what are you talking about? You know, so that's how I always look at things, is that, like, at the end of the day, I have more power to do what needs to be done, and I need to utilize it. And often, because a lot of Black people have told me, oh, you sound so white, you act white. Guess what? That's the reason why I'm in certain positions. And that's why I do a flip. Like, people, like, what happens is that the white people will be like, oh, she's a safe Black person. Hello.
Yeah.
Now that I'm here, hi. Let me get other Black people in that maybe you don't feel are safe options. That's how I've learned how to harness the fact that a lot of people have told me, oh, you act white. How about I go ahead and get into where I need to get into? Because people, whenever white people see a Black person, they're always looking to see who's the safe option. I'm not light-skinned enough, so I can't be white passing. But, you know, I'm not, like, so... like, you know, like, I don't say the N-word and stuff. I don't cuss, you know, stuff like that. The things I get made fun of about a lot. I don't do those things.
Yeah.
So I do come off as more appealing to white people, although my skin is dark. So often I can't do these things. But quite often, because I don't act a certain type of Black that white people don't like, I'm able to get into certain positions. But what they don't understand is this. I'm still a Black person. You think I don't know Black people?
you think
I live in Jacksonville, Florida. You think I don't know Black people?
Oh my God. Like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like, hello. So that's what I have learned to do, is I've learned to position myself where it's like, okay, people tell me I always act white. How about I go ahead and do this, get to where I need to get to, and then do a 180. 'Cause then that way, if they decide to pull me out of a position for something, I can ask, is it because I'm black? Because you liked you liked me before I showed you all my other black friends. So what's really going on? Yeah. So that's pretty much how that's how I operate. So, free game, people. Free game.
Yeah, free game. I've always gotten that too. I hate that. Like, you kind of talk white, you live like this, and it's so funny too, because it's like you can't. It is weird how you can slide in the door, and they don't know that you really like. I tell people it's like you're a secret agent to a certain extent when you get in these spaces and you have to infiltrate it and you have to plug your knowledge and plug everything you need to plug, because they think shit's sweet, but shit ain't sweet, you know. Because I'm from around the way, and I'm making sure my folks is gonna get heard, and I'm gonna get heard, because we need to make these changes happen. We need to move the needle inside, and we also got to keep building our own shit on the outside too, because the strength of the black dollar is strong. I say this all the time, and I don't want to sound like a hotep, because I'm not about like the sexist shit of hotepery, but like when they say like black businesses and like how much money we have in the black community that can go into us, they aren't lying about that. Like, the strength of the black dollar is strong. Black Panther made it was the best selling Disney movie, like best selling Marvel movie, because black people got money. They forget that. Then they be like, oh damn, black people got money. And then they don't give a shit about us until the next Black Panther. But yeah, they don't. They give the Black Panther, Martin Luther King movie, Muhammad Ali, Rosa Parks. I think that's it.
Do they care about Rosa Parks?
They care. They kind of care now. Speaking of that, and I mean, before we switch, like, get back into
it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. speaking of that, before we get into back into just talking about some gaming shit, I applaud you for maintaining your integrity, because once people start putting that money in your face, some people's morals fall. You know, some people's values and like true intentions, like what they were intentionally coming in for, they drop that because they actually getting a lot more money. And it's something that causes an internal turmoil in them. And then back home too, because folks be like, damn, you really did sell out for that cheese. You said you wasn't going to do it. And that's, and I love hearing that you're like, that money's not worth it. Trust me, that money's not worth it. And it's not. And I want people to understand, it's not. The money's not worth it. I don't care if you got to put yourself in a situation where you're not going to have a voice and not be able to change things. Like, if you can't do nothing in there, then, like, don't work there. For real. Don't be there. Don't spend your time there. Because time is the only... Yeah. Because time is the only non-refundable currency we have in life.
Right.
So, think about that. Yeah. All right. But, so, gaming. Wrap this up. We're going to wrap it up super quick. But, like, gaming. What games are you playing right now off stream? And what games are you looking forward to that are coming out soon?
TBH?
Uh-huh.
Minecraft and more Minecraft. I usually wait until the summertime to go and look into indies. I'm a big indie type of person. So I am all about Minecraft, and then summertime hits and I get to see indie showcases.
Yeah.
I just wait for the summertime to roll around and, you know, just see what we have going on. I know that I kind of was looking forward to Halo. I mean, I was part of like the Halo flight testing and stuff like that. And So like I do like Halo. I am not good at Halo. I will not sit up there and say my KD is great at Halo. I am not going to lie to you about that. I get laid out in Halo. So I'm always looking forward to like Halo type of stuff. I look forward as well for games that have black female lead characters. So if you guys know any, always find me on Twitter and let me know. I'm waiting to see things, because unfortunately during this pandemic, a lot of stuff has been very lackluster. A lot of stuff has not been exactly what we thought it was. So I'm still waiting for some more games to come out. But definitely big shout outs to all of the indie devs. Because a lot of the indie devs, they have a lot of good stuff cooking up. They really, yeah. really do. And a lot of the indie devs are actually BIPOC. People don't know. Yeah. A lot of indie devs are BIPOC. A lot of indie devs are disabled. So
yeah.
big shout outs to them for doing everything that they've been doing during this pandemic.
Absolutely. And to plug, hopefully some indie devs listen to this. Please come on the show. I love talking to game developers. I love talking to software developers. I love talking to coders, graphic designers, everybody involved in like the development of gaming. Like, please come on here. I just love to hear your story and just hear like what you're working on and ways people can, you know, help you out and contribute, you know. But the one thing that boosted my love for indies was Nintendo, the Switch, because the Switch, you can get indie game for like $16.
Yes.
And then it's just like, play it on the Switch, and it's like, oh, I really fuck with this. And and then you can go get it on PC for like the same price, and it's like, oh, this is way better on PC. Thank God. You know?
I'm dead. I'm so done.
And I love the Switch, but sometimes, man, they destroy your favorite games. I think the one thing about the pandemic that's like kind that has like kind of went down like in flames was like the trust and the trust and the backing or the hype behind these big developer AAA developers coming out with releases. People take everything with a grain of salt now. But through those, like, but yeah. Phoenix is rising from those ashes, which is indie development, because like the indie developers are making always making dope shit, innovative shit, new shit. It's not like the same recycled thing, but a new spin or a reboot or whatever. It's always a new concept, new IP, and I love that because it does like it gets you going. Like what was the game that just came out? Tunic. I love Tunic. One of my favorite releases of this
you
year.
Do oh yes, I love okay it. Look at you,
love it.
Oh my god.
Tunic is one of my
I'm
favorites.
I'm happy that you love it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, one of the things that I can say honestly did happen, unfortunately, is that people don't realize how much of a hit that indie devs actually took during the pandemic because there were no indie showcases. So, yes, I was partnered with E3 in their last hurrah of things, where a lot of it was a giant indie fest and a lot of people got mad. They're like, why are there so many indies being showcased? Guess what? E3 was one of the last times that you saw so many indie like games and indie devs being showcased. Yeah. Really, really being showcased. Yeah. And so for these indie devs, because we all have lost money, lost friends, family, whatever, during this pandemic. So indie devs who have significantly smaller studios, who are usually there's not an allocation on who works for what unless somebody just draws better, you know, like they are usually a very tight knit community and everything like that. They've been coming out with so many great games and have decided to establish a better world of diversity and inclusion within these games.
Absolutely.
So my mind is definitely blown by what we have seen. But yes, the pandemic has actually shown what goes on behind these AAA games. A lot of the bad things that have happened. And I do feel like the ceiling really hit the fan with Cyberpunk, to be honest. Yeah. I know a lot of people would be like, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad of a game. No, there was the game release that was trash, and then there was how the devs were treated by the publishers. So there was a lot of stuff that actually happened where it really did make the gaming community wonder, is it really worth it? And should I even bother to invest myself inside of another game again? You know, then you have like the things going on with Blizzard and stuff. Like so many things are happening in these AAA games, right? Mm-hmm. These AAA games and these top creators, these top content creators, so much drama and weird stuff has been happening. Yeah. It's been like, yo, we really need to pay attention to these indies. We really need to start paying attention a little bit more to these BIPOC creators because these are often areas that go underrepresented all the time. And they're often areas that we don't check for otherwise. So, I mean, I can honestly say that this pandemic has been trash, but it's really helped to expose the good that can come from the gaming industry.
Yeah. And it's And it's one of those things where, too, it's like, it's just a reckoning of the entertainment industry as a whole, because a lot of people are losing trust in those big, big budget films, those summer blockbuster joints. And a lot of people are starting to pay attention to more B movies, indie films. Like a lot of actors are getting into directing now, which is pretty interesting too. Of like them branching right. out there, it isn't just like left to those 5 or 10 people who make all the movies. It's like everybody else is like, we're gonna make our own shit. They like, the pandemic sucked. All these companies are saying they can't fund my movie. I'm gonna fund my movie, and then it blows up and shit. And so right. it's like blowing up, and it's in the same way of like that, like just the entertainment industry itself is like, we want something fresh. We're tired of these franchises. Why is Fast and Furious 10 movies? Answer that.
I'm just confused, because didn't they go fast enough the first time? Like, I'm just I get very confused about it, and I'm just like. I'm like, listen, after you guys mess around and have Bow Wow do Tokyo Drift, did you guys yeah. not learn? Stop the madness. We don't need Fast yeah. and Furious. I mean, eventually I want to make my own Fast and Furious. It's called like Fast and Furious, whatever number, The Courageous Few. Because I feel like that sounds like a great movie title. But it's not even going to be about cars at all. I don't even know what it's going to be about. It just sounds like really cool. Matter of fact, you know, I might stylize it a little bit different so that I don't get like a weird like little strike for it or whatever. It's not even going to be about cars. It's just the fact that yeah. they keep on like going in about Fast and Furious, and nobody cares. Like, nobody cares whatsoever.
They went to space last time. It's like, what can you do now? Besides, like...
Wait, that's besides, like, the last one?
Yeah, the last one, they went to space. They went to space to crash into... to drive a car into a satellite. That's what they did in the last one. Yep. That's exactly what happened.
I need help. Side plug, big shout out to Patrick Walker. Patrick R. Walker. Look him up. He comes from Jacksonville. He was actually my class president at Wolfson High School. But big shout outs to him. He actually has broken his way into mainstream film. And actually is okay. now a full certified actor and everything like that. Black man. Big shout outs to him. I want to say big shout outs to him because of the fact that at the end of the day, this is a young black man who has entered into the acting arena during the pandemic, especially is when he started really blowing up.
Yeah.
But then also he's been hanging out with big names. All right. So it's not just one of those, oh, you know, I'm just a little. No. There's nothing little about him when he's on the red carpet or when his face is on the showcase of whatever Showtime film he's in. Like, that's big stuff. All right. So big shout outs to Patrick R. Walker there. Always, he's got a shout out yeah. my class president.
And we can, and that was. No, I was going. Okay. Well, I was going to transition into like getting shout outs and words of affirmation, positive vibes. Because usually do like the rant. I do like do a hot topic rant, but I like the world is shitty. The world's on fire. I want people to get some positive vibes out there. So yeah, continue yes. doing your shout outs and give some words of affirmation.
Yes.
So this is the platform.
Words
yours.
Of affirmations. Words of affirmations with Janie Laney. Affirmation number one. Take a great shower every day. I don't know. Is that an I don't even know what the heck an affirmation is. But listen, though. Listen. Like, for real, though. Like, big shout out to a lot of people. Munchkin Doom. That's my best friend. Big shout outs to Amoria. Amoria is actually one of my friends who met through content creation. She now just started her job at Accenture. She does graphic design and all of that jazz. So big shout outs to Amoria. And, you know, like shout out to Ebonics. She does a lot in the Sims community as far as making custom CC for people of color. And I'm talking like actual people of color, like hairstyles and all, and just the whole entire thing. You know, and shout out to Hazelin. Hazelin is an awesome content creator. She's just out there. She's a working mom. She does her content creation. She's always supporting people at any chance that she gets. Big shout out to 8-Bit of Fun as well as Ziggy. They are actually two podcasters that you need to meet if you have not met them, to be honest.
Oh, we got to. We're going to have to collab. That's going to be easy.
Yeah, you guys actually really do. You guys really do need a collab. Like really, really do need to collab, because I feel like if you guys did a podcast together, it would be nothing but some crazy mess. But you guys would get in all of your blurred content, all your black nerd content. You guys would get it all in.
Yeah.
They like video games, anime, music, all of that stuff. Film and everything. And you know, I feel like when it's really great to see like a bunch of black men hanging out together having fun, like that's my thing. Shout out to the YSL dog. I'm sorry I feel so bad for the dog. Okay, I feel so bad for that darn dog, right? I feel bad for the dog. I mean, everybody else, you know, GG. Yeah. But I feel so bad for the dog. But seriously, though, like, if you guys are really, 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 really interested in finding more BIPOC creators, especially trying to find black creators and stuff, don't be scared to go ahead and look on all platforms, by the way, not just on Twitch. Make sure you go ahead and look at YouTube. Make sure you look at Facebook Gaming. Make sure you even look on Trovo. And I don't know if there's any black people on Trovo, but still, make sure you go ahead and look over there. Look on DLive. Still don't know if there's any black people on DLive, but still, go ahead and just look around. Give people the opportunity. And then also don't steer away from content that maybe you just haven't seen before. A lot of us do create all different types of content. A lot of us like all different things. If I'm not playing a video game, still at least say hi to me. I might be trying out my ASMR abilities. And you should still say hi, you know, whatever. We all come in all different shapes, sizes, colors. A lot of us may be disabled. Me, myself, I have to use a cane to walk and everything like that. So, you know, don't be scared if you see somebody of color who maybe isn't just like you, because we are all different people. So, you know, just have a great day and drink a lot of water. Is drink a lot? What the heck is an affirmation? I affirm that you drink water. I don't know if
that's positive. You gotta say it in a lighter tone.
Well, I would say, drink water, children of the corn. It is good for thou. Like, you know, like that way. But drink water. That's, you know?
Thank you.
It is good for thine.
Oh my goodness.
Just saying. Okay. So yeah.
Where can the people find you, Janie, on your platforms? And what can they expect when they tune into your streams?
Find me gallivanting on Twitter first. Okay. That's what you need to do. Above all things, follow me on Twitter, because we don't know what the heck I'm gonna be out there doing. but find me on Twitter _JanieLaney. Right, so JaneyLaney. Literally, you could type in Janie Laney on Google and you'll find my Twitter. Okay,
see that? Hold on, one second.
You
said that. That's how I knew you and Monk to homies, because she said the same thing. She said, "Google me, fam." You hear that? Yeah. Google Janie Laney. Janie Laney. The only Janie Laney that's gonna pop up is Janie Laney. You feel me?
Google me. There's only one other person that may pop up, and it's a white lady, and obviously that's not me. And she doesn't create content. She just has a Facebook.
She don't create content.
A little Facebook account, whatever. But you can Google me. I'm on like the first three pages. Might even hit that four page. Google the heck out of me. Matter of fact, make my whole entire search pop. Put me on your LinkedIn, all right? Because I'm on LinkedIn. Okay, I can be professional. Go on to the LinkedIn. You could go ahead and find me that way. On Facebook Gaming, I am like fb.gg/realJanieLaney. Just look up Janie Laney and you'll find me. On Twitch, I am JanieLaney_. On YouTube, I'm just Janie Laney. And if you go onto YouTube and type in Janie Laney, you will see the official Minecraft video about me. All right. Minecraft did hit 1 trillion views on YouTube. Actually the only gaming channel to have hit 1 trillion views on a YouTube channel. And I contributed to a great amount of those views. Okay. My face, even though a lot of people were calling me the N-word and the thing, my face still attributed to many of those things. So, you know, you know, just look for Black Minecraft. Black Minecraft actually has a collective of different Minecrafters who also play different games as well. Like, they like Overwatch, they like Fable, they like all different types of games and stuff like that. So, you know, so just look for me, or look for Black Minecraft. If you type in Black Minecraft, you're bound to get me. Type it all together too. Just type Black Minecraft all together. And so that's pretty much how you can find me. If you're looking, please don't be a butt face. I don't do the toe pics. I don't do anything like that. But I do collect money. All right, on my Twitter, there's actually a little sign that you could click. It looks like a little money. You could send me, okay? Send me. You don't even have to tell me what your name is. Just send me, okay? Send him money too, of course, but send me. Please.
I like property. So if you buy me some property, just let me know.
Property? Wait, what kind of property?
It don't matter. Just buy me a plot of land. I could build on it. I don't know what to do with it.
A plot of land.
I'll find something to do with it.
That's not bad, but like, are you going to till? Does the land need to be tilled? Like pre-tilled?
See, that's the thing. I'm just going to give it to somebody. I'm going to keep it, and then I'm going to figure it out later. Because if it's like spoiled soil, then that means I just got to build a house on it or something. But if it's not, then like, I don't know. But yeah,
you may need to contact Drika and get like Kevin and Drika Gates, because they have their own thing out, you know. Yeah. That's what you need to do, is contact them about that.
Oh my God. Thank you, Janie Lady, for being on the show. I really appreciate you. This is a wonderful time. If you want to find us on the interwebs, you can be sure to find us on Twitter at UBG Pod, on TikTok at UBGP or UBG Pod. One of those two. I know TikTok is weird. And Facebook at Unapologetically Black Gaming Podcast. Thank y'all so much. As always, be happy, be healthy, drink some water, and keep gaming.